Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today. And as always, I have such an important conversation and such a knowledgeable guest who will be guiding us through more of what we really need to know. Particularly, we're going to be exploring the world of protein and are you getting enough and why that's such an important question. So before we go there, if you're listening for the very first time, I'm so happy you are here with me. I hope you'll be coming back every week to listen to these enlightening conversations. This show is really dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make informed decisions. And that's really what my wish is for all of us. Just make informed decisions about what is in your best interest regarding your health and well-being and, you know, all areas of your life. If you are listening for the first time and you'd like to receive these shows right to your inbox, then you need to go to my website, which is drcherylselman.com. That's drcherylselman.com, and opt into my website, and then I send these shows out every week. You'll get them straight to your inbox. In fact, I have another program, another podcast on Progressive Radio Network every Saturday at 11 a.m. called The Love Code, and that has more of a spiritual flavor to it, inspiring and uplifting you. And if you either go to my website, opt in there, or like me on my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, then I post those shows there as well. And in addition, there's lots of other great information to keep you abreast of what's going on and keeping you empowered with that knowledge. So, you know, there's one other thing I just want to say before I jump into this conversation. I just have to let you know that I am planning a journey to a very special part of the world, and it's called Bhutan. And if you've never heard of Bhutan, check it out. It's between China and India. And I love adventures, and I love exploring places that are out of the ordinary, and Bhutan is certainly a country out of the ordinary. So there's a small group of people that I will be bringing with me, and that will be October 19th to 31st. We will be spending 12 days in Bhutan experiencing everything about that culture, really diving in on all levels. It's a very special tour that is being organized for me, covering all the important experiences that I want to have. So if you are interested in having an experience of a lifetime and a life-changing journey, then get in touch with me and join me in Bhutan October 19th through 31st next year, 2020. But you have to get going with that trip sooner because there are only a limited number of visas and only one flight in a day to Bhutan. So we need to reserve our places. That's coming up January and February. So anyway, let's talk about the importance of protein and are you getting enough with my guest, Dr. David Minkoff. And let me just share a little bit about Dr. Minkoff. He graduated from the University of Wisconsin Medical School in 1974 and was elected to the Phi Beta Kappa of medical schools, the prestigious Alpha Omega Alpha Honors Medical Fraternity for very high academic achievement. He then worked for more than 20 years in the area of traditional medicine before making the switch to alternative medicine when he and his wife, Sue, founded LifeWorks Wellness Center in Clearwater, Florida. LifeWorks is now one of this country's foremost alternative health clinics, offering a wide range of cutting-edge protocols. In the year 2000, Dr. Minkoff founded Body Health, a nutrition company which offers a unique range of dietary supplements to the public and practitioners. Body Health's mission is to educate doctors and the public with the correct know-how to improve the body's condition and to provide them with the products needed to do that. Dr. Minkoff is passionate about fitness and is a 38-time Ironman finisher. Wow, I have to stop to say that, including 8 appearances at the Ironman World Championships in Hawaii. Can only fathom what that must be like. He also writes 2 weekly newsletters, the Optimum Health Report and the Body Health Fitness Newsletter. He is the author of The Search for the Perfect Protein, The Key to Solving Weight Loss, Depression, Fatigue, Insomnia, and Osteoporosis. And let me welcome Dr. David Minkoff to the show. And it's so wonderful to have you with us today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's good to be back, as you reminded me earlier.
Yeah, you know, I was mentioning, I was looking in my archives, and we had a conversation very similar to the one we're going to have today in 2013. I'm an early adapter, David. I'm an early adapter. So, but, you know, this is a topic we need to be talking about again. And I've read your book. You know, I get lots of books, obviously. I don't generally read all of them from cover to cover, but I want you to know I read your book from cover to cover. And it was a big aha moment because you think you know something, but you really discover you don't know as much as you think you know. And when it comes to protein and why it's an important topic and what's going on in terms of, you know, are we getting enough and the consequences if we don't, I mean, it really registered in a big way for me that that was a topic that I needed to be refreshed on. So I'm so glad that you are here and we're going to talk about this because, you know, if you're a menopausal woman, if you're an athlete, if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, if you're dealing with hormone imbalances, if you have lowered immunity status, if you're tired, if you're dealing with osteoporosis or bone loss, or you've had surgery or cancer treatment, and probably a whole lot more, this is a conversation you must listen to and share with other people because it can make a huge difference in their lives. So, David, where do we begin with this protein story? Why is this your focus? Why did you write a book about protein? Let's start there.
Well, I was when I was age 13, I was a Boy Scout, and I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and the plant, the Oscar Mayer meatpacking plant, the original company, was in Madison, Wisconsin. And they decided to take us on a tour of the meatpacking plant. And I went to the tour, and I saw the slaughterhouse. And I left there thinking, I'm going to become a vegetarian because this just doesn't seem right to me. I grew up in a very traditional home, and cooking and food was very important. And my mother's hat in life was that she was a good Jewish mother and a really good cook. And that anyone that didn't eat her food, like me not eating her brisket or her roasted chicken, was a very, very high offense. But I stuck to my guns. And I even lost car privileges for once I turned 16. She said, if you don't start eating meat, I'm not going to let you have a car. So for 2 years, I went without the car. But I did that for a long time, probably 40 years. And I was, in 1982, I started doing Ironman triathlons. So I was training a lot and I was working a lot. And I eventually broke down and I tore my hamstring and I could not get it to heal. Now, I had access to everything, massages and chiropractors and injections and, you know, you name it. I could do it or I had access to it. And it just wouldn't really heal stably. And every time I tried to kind of exert it hard, it would give me a problem. And I could not figure out what to do with it. I met a guy who had some amino acid tablets that were being sold in Europe. And he said, why don't you try these? And I tried them. And within about 6 weeks, my leg felt very strong. The sort of lingering pain was gone. And the and I went out to the track and I sort of pushed it and it was okay. And 2 months later, I went to an Ironman race in Canada and I had my best race. And I noticed also that my resting heart, my maximal heart rate increased by 12 points. I could do like 172, 173 as a maximum, and I was now doing 184, 186, which was a difference. I also gained about 12 pounds of lean body mass with really no change, And there was really no change in my physical appearance either. My waist was the same, my chest was the same, and I discussed with the guy who had come up with this product what was going on, and he said, well, you were a vegetarian for so long on a pretty low protein, you know, I was on a plant-based low protein diet. And he said, your body had a lot of missing tissue, liver, bone, heart, muscles, and when you finally had enough amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein, your body has actually just been filling in the missing things that it needed. Now, another thing had happened a couple of years before, and I had a patient who had worked with this very famous guy who came up with cancer treatments that had to do with using digestive enzymes. So these were very concentrated pancreas tissue, and he was treating cancer patients and having quite good success with it. The theory being that if you took these enzymes on an empty stomach, they would go into your system and they would find the cancer and digest off the coat that the cancer tissue protects itself with to make it look like it's really part of your body. And then once that coat was off, the immune system would see it and it would attack the cancer. And he assembled about 10,000 cases where he was able to be successful for this. And so she was working with him, and she had come from, she was living in Idaho, and she came to Clearwater, Florida, where I live, and she said, she showed me the book, and she said, you should try these enzymes for a couple days, because if you have brewing cancer, like subclinical cancer, you could get it handled like immediately before you got symptomatic. So I said, okay, I'll try it. And she gave me 12 of these enzymes, and you take the first dose on an empty stomach first thing in the morning, and I took 12 of them. And by about 10 o'clock in the morning, I thought I'd actually eaten a hole in my stomach. I had tremendous pain and heartburn, and it was terrible. And I said, I can't take these things. I don't know what's wrong with me or what's wrong with the tablets, but these things, I can't take them. I don't think I have cancer, but this isn't a go. So that was a few years before. After I have this improvement, taking the amino acids with the running and with my strength and with my Ironman competition, the idea sort of came back in my head, which was maybe I was, as a vegetarian with the diet that I was eating, I was amino acid deficient, and maybe that had something to do with why my stomach couldn't handle these enzymes. And so I called her up, and she sent me a new batch, and I took 12 of these enzymes 6 times a day for 3 days, and my stomach was absolutely fine. And that sort of was a sort of a revelatory moment for me that, holy smokes, this idea of deficiency of amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins, could be causing lots of different symptoms in different people, and no one would bring it to this sort of common denominator of you are amino acid deficient. So I started to measure amino acid levels in my practice, and every patient that came in, I would send a blood test for serum levels of amino acids. There's 22 of them generally tested, and what I found is that almost everybody had deficiencies. All vegetarians and vegans had deficiencies, major ones, and many people who thought they were doing okay with their diet also had deficiencies. Now, there's a whole sort of, you know, reason. Part of it is most of us have an intestine that isn't functioning very well. We don't have enough stomach acid or enzymes to digest protein. A lot of people have parasites or yeasts or bacteria, and they have gluten intolerances, and they're eating gluten, and they have, you know, they have membranes in their intestine which just aren't absorbing right. So some of it is that, and then there's tens of millions of people who take acid blockers, and of course they can't digest protein, because without stomach acid you can't digest protein. So if you're taking Nexium or Tagamet or Pepcid or, you know, Zantac, any of these drugs, Well, you're definitely amino acid deficient. So, and many people take these things. They're available over the counter, and or they're prescribed by their family doctor or gastroenterologist. And so I was like, holy cow, this is not just me. It's lots of people. And some of them were very high-end athletes, and some of them were people with cancer, or they were menopausal, or they had chronic fatigue or Lyme disease, and they're all protein malnourished. And so as I started to use these amino acids, we call it perfect amino, in the practice, what we found is that whatever's wrong with you, this contributed to you getting better. It's not the only thing wrong with people, but it is a major thing wrong with lots of people. And so that's kind of what got me started. And then after lots of experience, thousands of patients, I thought I ought to put this in a book because most of this information isn't really taught. It isn't known by most doctors. Doctors aren't using these products. And a lot of people who want health and want to understand nutrition could benefit from this. A few years before, I was invited to the American College of Nutrition, which is the sort of the hub of nutritional research and nutritional journals. And I gave a lecture on amino acids and nutrition to that group. There was 300 people in that room. They're all either MDs or registered dietitians or PhD nutritionists. And the information that I gave them, which is in the book, most of them had no clue, had never learned it, had no idea, and were just astounded by the data because they'd never really heard it before and they never learned it in college or medical school. So that was sort of the basis of this, is if I could get this information out there, it could help really lots of people.
Absolutely. Why don't we start at the very beginning for people who may be listening and don't really have much knowledge in nutrition. And I think even though those who do, why don't we just start and talk about why protein is so important? What do amino acids do in our body? What are they responsible for?
Good. So I think one of the ways that people can think about it is that the body is mainly made out of proteins as its primary structure. And in our bodies, there are about 50,000 different proteins. Now, that is skin and hair and enzymes and neurotransmitters and hormones. So all of the major basic immune particles, all of the major particles are made out of protein. Now, a protein is a structure that is made up of smaller units. And the way you could think of it is, if you just take like the English language, there are words and there are letters. And there's 26 letters, and you can mix them up all different ways, and you can get all different kinds of words. I think in the English language, there's something like 300 or 400,000 words that you could make out of 26 different letters. So if we make the analogy, proteins are words, and they're spelled with amino acids. And the alphabet of amino acids is 22 different ones. And these are available in our foods. And so we eat the foods, the amino acids become available, they go to our cells, and then the cells assemble these amino acids into proteins. Now, some proteins are very simple, like in the English language, there's a couple of words that have one letter, like I or A. And in proteins, though it's not technically a protein, but you could think of it, the simplest one is thyroid hormone. It's one amino acid, tyrosine, and it's got three or four iodines attached to it. And it is an amino acid. It is a hormone. You could consider it the simplest, most simplest protein. Now, they get complicated as the number of letters gets longer. So if we look at glutathione, which is a very important antioxidant in our bodies, it's 3 amino acids. If you look at insulin, it's, I think, 69 amino acids. And growth hormones, I think it's 89 amino acids, something like that. So they can get more complicated. Skeletal muscle, like the muscle, our biceps and our triceps, each muscle fiber itself is made up of about 5,600 amino acids in a very specific sequence. So you can imagine a muscle cell, if it's going to assemble amino acids that come from your food, one by one, 5,600 letters long, and now you've got one muscle fiber. So that's what our body's made out of. Now, these amino acids, of the 22, 8 of them we have to get in our food. And from the 8, the body can make the rest of them, the other 14. What's interesting is, and what I never learned this in medical school, but what I learned in working with this formulation that we have of Perfect Amino, is it is the 8 essential amino acids. And it turns out that if you put them in a very specific ratio, then the body can take them and manufacture any protein in the body very efficiently and very fast. And if you compare it to taking, say, whey protein or a piece of meat or fish, it's from 3 to 6 times more efficient and better. And it's already pre-digested, so you don't have to digest it. Now, the problem with food is that many people, as I said earlier, have trouble with digestion. So if you imagine you have a steak and you chew it up, so now it's in a liquid form, but the individual muscle fibers are still intact. They go into your stomach. You need acids and enzymes to break those muscle fibers down into shorter pieces. And then it goes into your intestine where more enzymes come, and you've got to break it down into individual single amino acids. So one fiber of steak would be 5,600 amino acids. Those are the only thing that the body actually really absorbs. The whole muscle fiber is too big. It's too long. It can't really go in. So the intestinal cell takes those single amino acids. It puts them in the bloodstream. They go to your various tissues, and let's say they go to your muscle tissue. Now, our muscle cell has to put those 5,600 things back together in the specific ratio so it ends up heart muscle or skeletal muscle or whatever it is, or growth hormone or thyroid hormone or whatever it is. And so many people, there's a lot of sort of potential breaks in the armor of getting a food into a cell, which then can manufacture the protein. And what we found is by using this perfect amino blend is that you cut through lots of that so that you take it in 20 minutes, it's in your bloodstream. They're already there. They go to the cell. The cell takes those 8, and it can manufacture anything it needs to make. And so you get this fill-in of now your enzyme levels are better, and your hormone levels are better, and your hair starts growing faster, and your nails look better because you had a deficiency of these things, and they weren't really being supplied before, and now you can supply them, and so the body gets better.
And that's why it's such a profound story, because if you cannot supply the body with the right building blocks, and amino acids are the essential building blocks of every structure in your body, from the DNA all the way up to bone and hair and whatever, so everything. So that's why being able to have a good protein source, being able to have the right digestive function from the stomach acid all the way down to your small intestine, being able to, really utilize the protein you have so you can allow the body to rebuild everything is such a big story. And it's a, it's a challenging story right now for all the reasons you were talking about. We just don't have the right components in place due to stress, due to environmental toxins, poor nutrition, or just people who are choosing to eliminate protein from their diet. Can we for a minute address vegetarians and vegans? I mean, it is a trend. It's a growing trend. How do you stay healthy as a vegan and vegetarian? By the way, I'm a recovering vegetarian as well. I was a vegetarian for almost, 20 years, and my body was falling apart at the end with allergies, severe hay fever, arthritis, hormone imbalances, thyroid issues, exhausted adrenal glands, and I really had to rethink everything. So I've come from that place as well, and I want to be able to advise people who are choosing a more plant-based diet to be able to support their health for the long term, especially for women and hormones.
Yeah, I mean, I think a person, if they're well-educated and they're careful, and they do frequent enough testing to make sure that their body's, their body is able to manufacture the things that it needs with what they're taking. You know, the downside is most vegetarians don't get enough protein or enough amino acids, and their serum amino acid levels are very, very low. And this often translates to bone loss, muscle loss. They're cold. They have low hormone levels. It isn't everybody. Some people have a gut bacteria profile where those gut bacteria will manufacture amino acids from what they're eating so that they can actually get the stuff that they're not getting in their food, but their microbiome is manufacturing it. And so there's some people who are very successful vegetarians. They might be bodybuilders with huge muscles, and, boy, I'm just eating lettuce all day long and spinach, and the amino acids in spinach are perfect, and they're higher than they are in meat, and you hear this whole dialogue. But really, that person has a very unique system compared to most people. I can almost always tell when I get the amino acid profile back what a vegetarian looks like. Either they're a vegetarian or they got cancer and they're being starved, because it's a very specific profile, and the amino acid levels are very low. Now, I think if you're a vegetarian, it's fine. A lot of the foods are good. Okay, the vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and things are good. So there is a plus side of it. There's fiber. That's a plus side of it. You got to be careful with iron and B12 because those are low in vegetable foods, and sometimes people get enough, but a lot of people don't. Also with amino acids. So, and the other thing I see is, omega-3 fats are present in some vegetable foods. Walnuts have some, and there's some algae that have some. But unless you measure your levels in your blood of omega-3 fats, you may not be getting them from those sources. And my experience is that most vegetarians have low levels of EPA and DHA. These are the foods that make up all cell membranes. They're a big part of the brain anatomy. And if you're a vegetarian, you may need to go to a krill or a fish-based oil because your body just can't convert the vegetable oil into the omega-3 that our bodies actually need. So I think it can be done, and with checking to make sure that, yes, it's working, yes, I'm preserving my bones and my muscles, yes, I have energy. You know, all these various factors that you get an organism that is thriving and that isn't just sort of hooked up to a belief system, but they don't feel good. They're tired and they're irritable and they're cold and they're losing their body mass. So I'm not anti in an educated person. When I just look back at sort of the history of humans, of Homo sapiens, there really isn't any long-term vegetarian populations. You know, this hasn't been a successful genetic trend. The cultures, if you look at them, they may, when they were starving, didn't have anything, but oftentimes all of them had some kind of meat or fish as a part of their diets, which provided the nutrients. And then, 2.5 million years of genetic experience, where, by golly, this is what the organism grew on and evolved on. And if you're going to do a switch to something else, I think you sort of have to watch it.
Right. And we need to understand that our hormones are made from amino acids, which most people don't know. So, you know, as are all our enzymes are made from amino acids. So if you don't have the amino acids from one source or another, you cannot create and build, produce your hormones. And that goes for men too, right, with testosterone and insulin is a hormone. And, you know, we're just looking at the whole hormone profile, thyroid. Everything needs amino acids. That's what's, you know, such a blinding flash of the obvious. When you understand this story, everything requires the ability to access the proper amino acids to rebuild. What about pregnant women? Can we talk a moment about their needs?
Yeah, I mean, I think now you're eating for two. You're building a brand new body out of nothing. And if the mother's nutrition isn't sufficient, you're going to get a not as good fetus, and you're going to get a mother who breaks down. So I find that if we give the amino acids to pregnant women through pregnancy, actually it's better to start before pregnancy, because I like to sort of tune people up for 6 months before they decide to get pregnant, if they come see me, because I want them in optimum shape so that they can then bear a very healthy baby. And through nursing, and I have 8 grandchildren, and they've all, you know, my daughter and daughters-in-law, they understand this. And so you should see breast milk on a mother that's taking Perfect Amino and some extra fish oil and some extra vitamin D. The stuff just looks like the creamiest, most beautiful thing you ever saw. It isn't this thin, pale blue milk. It's like really good milk. And, you know, you want your kid to be the best that they can be. And you want to feed them the best stuff they can get. So it's so for pregnancy, it's really important. And the same for menopause or andropausal men, you know. At this stage in the life, these hormone levels are going down. The nutrition, the ability to digest is usually going down. And so this is a time when you want maximum good nutrition and especially amino acids so that you can hold your body in a healthy state for as long as you can. You know, if you look at health span versus lifespan, like how long do you live versus how long do you feel good while you live, the feel good as you live starts going down at about 35, and the lifespan may still be going to 80 or 84, but that's kind of a sucky way to live if you hurt and you don't have energy and you're losing your memory and you're in a nursing home, and you know that's terrible. So a lot of this is nutritionally based attention when you are younger and through your senior years will keep you fit much longer. I just did my 43rd Ironman. I'm 71 years old, and I work a 10-hour day. And, you know, I have a lot of things going on, and I am just as vibrant as I ever was. And I know that it isn't genetics, because all my people in my family had heart attacks when they're 50. And it's attention to nutrition, including amino acids and exercise and sleep. You know, it's a whole thing. But I think that nutrition and amino acid nutrition is a big part of it. And
well,
one very neglected by a lot of people. What?
Yeah. Well, congratulations. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary to still be doing the level of exercise and demand on your body and doing well with it. It's proof of the pudding of what you're teaching, right? Because you know, we need to understand the needs through all stages of life. And as we get older and our systems just are less efficient, including our immune system, we become more vulnerable. So can we talk about the role of proteins and the immune system?
Yeah, I mean, the immune system is made out of proteins, white blood cells and lymphocytes, and then all of the things, the immunoglobulins. These are the These are the immune particles that are the attack particles. They're the missiles that our immune system uses to protect us. They're immunoglobulins. Globulins are proteins. If you look at this whole category of what are called cytokines, these are immune proteins that are communication particles. They say, body get inflamed, or body don't get inflamed, or attack that guy, or there's a cancer over there, go get it. They're all proteins. And we see a lot of cancer patients in our practice. And the death knell to a cancer patient is if their blood protein, if their total blood protein is below a normal level and we can't get it up, they're going to die. Because the proteins are not only their immunity, which they need to fight the cancer, but the whole lining of our respiratory and our oral cavity and our digestive tract is made out of these proteins, which are the barrier proteins. They're barriers to the brain, and they keep the stuff that's outside of us from getting in. And when you're protein malnourished, these barriers break down, and you get a leaky gut or a leaky brain or a leaky lung. And a leaky brain has people confused, or they can't remember, or they got brain fog, or they're anxious, or they're depressed, or they can't sleep. And a leaky gut is bloating and gas and heartburn, and then all of the autoimmune conditions, lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and MS, they're all leaky gut diseases. And without protein, it's a sign of not enough essential amino acids in the body, because those barriers are broken down, and now the body is open to attack from viruses and bacteria, and foreign proteins come in, and the whole immune system goes nuts, and you can't have health that way. So that's why these things are important. Almost in everywhere you look, in the book there's a page of, if you have cancer, if you have autoimmune disease, if you're depressed, if you can't sleep, if you're hormonally deficient, and the list goes on about 10 more, I can bet you dollars to donuts or dollars to what would be healthy? Carrots, that if we measure the serum amino acids in that patient, they're going to be low. Not a little bit, not one, but many. And you will never get that patient healthy until you can get those up into a normal range.
And I think we need to emphasize that even though you may be eating a steak during, a couple times a week, it doesn't mean that you are able to properly break down that protein into those very small components called amino acids so the body can use them to rebuild and regenerate, because you may not be able to just to have proper digestion working on your behalf. So again, it's, you know, it's a really big story, because it's not just about having lots of protein, it's having the body functioning so it can utilize that protein, which gets to be a challenge, especially as you get older.
Yeah, and there's a catch-22 in it too, because if you don't absorb them, then you can't make the enzymes that are needed to digest them. Then when they come in, they don't get digested, then you don't absorb them. And so there is this circle of it's sort of a dwindling spiral circle of aging to a large extent is this process. You know, we know that if you take a 20-year-old and you do a DEXA scan on their body and measure, okay, how many pounds of, or what percentage of the body is lean body mass? This is really proteins, okay? Muscle, bone, ligament, tendon, organ. What percentage is the guy at 20? And then you measure the same guy 40 years later, and he's lost 25% on average of his lean body tissue. And you ask the question, well, is it that he just can't do it at 60? What he could do at 20, And so an experiment was done where they gave intravenous amino acids so you could bypass the whole intestinal problem of digestion and measure, could the body manufacture amino acids into proteins as well at 60 as they did at 20? And the answer is, yes, your body can do it. And so it isn't necessarily aging itself, which is this dwindling spiral. It's because you need an adequate gut and you need the right nutrients, and that combination, and there's, you know, the whole environmental toxin thing that breaks things down, but it's a nutritional problem. And if you can keep the nutrition coming in good amounts, then you can keep the body in better condition longer. I mean, nobody's getting out of here alive, but you know, there are people who are 90 years old or 95 years old, and they go to work, and they have productive lives, and their brains work, and they enjoy their family, and they enjoy their life, and that is worth going for. I'm not sure that in a nursing home where you don't know where you are, and somebody's feeding you, and you're drooling all over your chin, and you're sitting there watching TV all day, is a very meaningful existence to me. It might be meaningful to someone else, but I certainly don't want to end up like that.
So, this also leads me to talk about people who are dealing with cancer or those that, for whatever reason, have been immobilized, have lost muscle mass. So many people go, I need to put on weight, you know, in those situations. I need to put on weight. And they think putting on weight is eating lots of carbs. And I tell people, you have to think you're not putting on weight, you're putting on protein, you're building muscle mass. You don't want to bring more fat cells into the body. Can we just elaborate on that a little bit so people understand if they're in situations that where they have lost muscle mass, what they need to do to really put that muscle mass back on rather than think they just need to eat lots of carbs to get fat?
Right.
Put on weight.
So they need calories, but they need amino acids. They need something that's going to turn into body protein. I have a really good example of this right now. I have an aunt that lives in New York City, and she was a dancer her whole life, like a professional dancer, and she's in her early 90s now. And she would still do, you know, her morning dance routine for an hour every morning. She's very fit and just very mobile, and her body was beautiful. And she tripped and fell down and broke her hip. And now she's got a walker, and she can't do a routine. And she says, I look at my legs, and they've wasted away. And I said, are you taking Perfect Amino? And she said, no, I was so depressed, I stopped. So I said, well, you need to get back on Perfect Amino. And here's some other things that you can take that'll help your body, give your body signals to rebuild. And then I had her get one of these. It's called an electrical stim device where you can put electrodes on a muscle and you can get the muscle to contract from the outside rather than from the inside, and it will build muscle. And she's using it now to build back her muscles while her nutrition is feeding the muscles, the amino acids that they need to build back those muscles, and it's working. She says, I am really getting stronger. I can walk now across my apartment without my walker. And so I think, we see this with cancer patients all the time. They come in and they've been through chemo and radiation, and they've been on a diet which has been, the oncologists generally don't have any coaching for patients on what should they actually be eating. They just say, just eat enough and keep calories and it doesn't matter. And there's some candy in the waiting room and just eat that. It doesn't matter. None of that's really true. But we find they come in this condition where they're very protein malnourished and they're very vitamin and mineral malnourished. And our first goal is we've got to get the body back in some kind of condition where it could actually heal. And then once it's better, it could actually start to fight cancer. Because with no immune system, you're not going to fight the cancer. And we find that people sometimes come in where they're very anemic. And with essential amino acids, they rebuild their blood, and in 3 or 4 months, their hemoglobins go from 7 or 8 to 12 or 13, and their blood protein levels, which come in at 5 or 5.5, and I know if I can't get those up, they're not going to make it, and they start to climb, and they get to 7.5, and now you've got a person whose body is actually being put back together, and now it can fight. And that could be a Lyme patient. It could be a cancer patient. The principle is the same. You have to get the body nourished so that its systems that it depends on for survival can actually do it. And, of course, that's hormones and its immune system and its proteins. And it's a healthy gut.
That's so inspiring, really, to know that it's possible if you give the body the right, the right things, it can repair, regenerate, no matter what your age. That's such an important message that people need to hear. And it starts with the form of protein that is most usable by the body, which is why we're talking about amino acids in the product you've developed called Perfect Aminos, because it's the easiest way to get the complete set of amino acids from which everything is created in the body. That's what impressed me a lot. I have another question I want to ask you, because one of the really trendy things these days is collagen.
Yeah.
And taking protein powders.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about that? What do we need to know that we're not being told?
Well, we didn't really address this, but in order to make a protein, almost all the proteins in the body, you need minimum amounts of these 8 essential amino acids. And if the ratio between the 8 are optimized, you get the best way to, the body can then manufacture any protein quickly. The problem with our foods is that the balance of amino acids isn't quite the right balance. And so when you eat those amino acids, not all of them can be used. So if you look at the best dietary protein, it's breast milk. And 49% of the protein that is eaten with breast milk, the body is actually able to turn it into body protein. About 51% of it is turned into calories or like a carbohydrate. Right below breast milk are whole chicken eggs. So if you eat the egg and the yolk, about 48% of it the body can utilize to make body protein. The other 62% end up being fuel. Meat and fish are about 33% utilized. Dairy products are about 16% utilized. Soy is about 17% utilized. Collagen is 0% utilized. And the reason is that there isn't tryptophan in collagen. It's one of the essential amino acids. And collagen just doesn't have it. So unless the body can get a source of tryptophan from someplace else or another food while you're eating it, the utility of collagen just isn't very good. The other problem is that collagen, about 60% of it, are amino acids that aren't the essential ones. And so those aren't going to be utilized to make body protein. So it's a problem. The other problem with collagen is that collagen generally is sourced from chicken feathers, leftover slosh on the bottom of the meat packing company, scales from fish. It may be contaminated. It may be heavy metals. There are some organic sources of collagen where it's meal or bone meal or horse hoofs, but you just got to be careful where you're getting it. I don't think it's harmful to anybody. It can taste good. It can thicken up a shake if you want it. But as my reliant source of protein, you're way better off taking a couple of eggs and throwing them in your smoothie than you are throwing in some processed whey protein or some collagen or some kind of soy. It's just I have a recommended smoothie for my patients, and they can either use a we have a meal shake that we use Perfect Amino in, and it's a really good tasting meal shake, and that's the best source. But if they're not going to do that, you know, throw your blueberries and your fish oil and your green powder in the blender and throw in a couple of raw eggs, and you'll have a much more nutritious smoothie than you did if you put two scoops of collagen. You know, you pay, the stuff's not cheap. A couple of eggs cost almost nothing.
So we've kind of been sold a bill of goods on the the advertising side of collagen, which is, you know, if you go to places like the big show in Anaheim, Expo West. If you go there, I mean, collagen is one of the most popular items you find being displayed by so many vendors. It's one of the trendy things, right? And it was pretty, I mean, I've gotten collagen as well. And after reading your book, it was such a wake-up call. It's like, no, this is not really the best way to go to rebuild our skin, that's a lot of how it's promoted, right? To take collagen to firm up your skin and to help with your joints. But it's really working with high quality absorbable protein like the amino acids that will do a much better job.
Yeah, because, I mean, the people have the idea, and the promotion of collagen has been masterful. I mean, it's just been brilliant PR and marketing to turn old dead horse hoofs into the most demanded supplement on the market. It's almost better than what happened with whey protein. Whey was a waste product from making cheese. When you make cheese, there's a liquid portion left over, and it was whey, and it was thrown away. And someone got the brilliant idea of maybe this could be a health food. And a lot of scientists were paid to do research on whey protein and make it a scientific endeavor to show that whey protein was just this wonderful stuff, and turned it into a mega billion-dollar industry. But if you think of it, that whey protein or that collagen doesn't go collagen in, collagen through your blood, collagen to underneath your skin. It goes collagen digested, amino acids, and then, you know, it's like playing Scrabble. You have five X's and two K's and no vowels. You aren't going to make too many words. And that's what the cell is faced with. It gets all these amino acids. It's like, I can't use these. They're not what I need to make the protein. And so they get turned into carbohydrates. They get turned into fuel. So it's, you know, people don't really get that. And part of what I wanted people to understand is that, look, this is how the system works. And if you feed in amino acids in the exact correct ratio, then the body says, oh, perfect. You know, so you get the Scrabble thing with lots of vowels and R's and S's, and you can make lots of words and have no things left over. Because, boy, it's what's needed to get the job done.
Right. So this is so important for people to understand, because we really are getting a deeper understanding of what's going on for our body, but also how things have been hyped up along the way. So let's talk about Perfect Aminos. We've mentioned it, and I've just started taking them after getting your book and reading your book and understanding the role of aminos and realizing I want to build more muscle mass. I had an injury and I fractured my arm about 6 months ago, so I couldn't work out. So I noticed there was, you know, loss of muscle mass particularly in my arm. So I'm wanting to build that back up again. And it's hard to do some of the tricep exercises still. So I thought, I really need to look into the whole amino acid story, which is what led me to you, which I'm so glad it did. So let's talk, in a couple minutes that we have left, let's talk about Perfect Aminos and why they're unique and what you developed, and then we can give people a link, because I think you're still offering a discount on your website if people want to try them.
Yeah, it's Christmas season sale, and so it's a great time to buy them because you can get a really good deal, and you could try it out and see how it works for you. The Perfect Amino is a blend of the 8 essential amino acids in a very specific ratio, so you don't need the digestive enzymes and stomach acid. They go directly into the small intestine, and within 20 minutes, they are in your bloodstream. We have proven that if you take these 8 essential amino acids, if you look at a traditional biochemistry book or dietary book, you'll see some say that there's 9 essential amino acids, and some say there's 10 essential amino acids. And we've proven that if you take the 8 essential amino acids in the blend that we have in Perfect Amino, that within 20 minutes or 30 minutes, if you measure in the blood, you see rises in the other amino acids, the other ones that are supposedly essential. Arginine and histidine are the other two essential, semi-essential amino acids, but if you take Perfect Amino, they're made. They're made almost immediately. The other advantage of Perfect Amino is so that it can be absorbed. It's in your bloodstream in 20 minutes. It does not raise blood sugar. It does not raise insulin. If you're doing a ketogenic diet, it will not take you out of ketosis. And this is very important because these amino acids are virtually calorie-free. A full day's dose, which would be 10 grams, it's either 2 scoops or 10 tablets, has only 4 calories. So if a person wants to lose weight, one of the problems with losing weight is if you calorie restrict, you're going to lose lean body mass. Every 4 pounds of fat you lose, you're going to lose a pound of lean body mass. You don't want that. If you take Perfect Amino, you don't really add any calories. So you could take 2 scoops 3 times a day. That's 12 calories for your whole day for all of your protein needs. That means if you don't eat anything except enough calories to get through vegetables and maybe some other proteins, that you can have a low-calorie diet but keep your protein level coming in as it should. So there's a lot of good things about it, and very, very few people have any reactions to it. And we have thousands of success stories from people who were injured and recovered or who were tired and lost their tiredness. We have some complaints from people like, I used to see my hairdresser every 6 weeks, and now I've got to go every 4 weeks because my hair is growing so fast or my nails are growing so fast, and it's costing me more money. Now I have to buy the amino acids, and now, but my hair looks better, and my, you know,
life is tough, I know.
Life is tough. In children, it's really, a lot of children don't eat enough essential amino acids. And it's an easy way, if they're participating in sports and they're active, the stuff tastes good. You just give them put it in a shake or put it in some water, have them drink it down. If they didn't eat their dinner, you're giving them amino acids and you're supplying their protein. So it's an easy fix for the busy lifestyles that we have. If they're athletes,
okay.
You know, recovery, if you want much faster recovery, take these amino acids before the workout, and many people take them a couple hours later, and you'll just see the difference. Your soreness level and your recovery will be much faster.
So bottom line is, we have just a few seconds left. Everyone really can benefit from taking the Perfect Aminos, which is a unique formula that you've put together, right? It's not readily available in other formulations. So the website is bodyhealth.com. That's bodyhealth.com. Check it out. Check out Dr. Minkoff's book, The Perfect Search for the Perfect Protein. Get educated and take advantage of that Christmas sale that's going on, so you get a really deep discount on these products. And I really recommend you do, because I've been taking them and I love them. I have made them part of my daily routine now. So we need to go. It's the end of the show. Thank you, Dr. David Minkoff, for all of your great work and wisdom. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And to all of my listeners, thanks for joining me. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. See you next week. Bye for now.
I'm here.
Here. Okay. I'm just waiting. Oh, yeah. Just waiting for it. Okay. Well, we got a lot in.